Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Gary Peel on my show. Join us today for a conversation about Gary's musical career, and you'll get to hear two songs from their wonderful new album, Fire and Grace, by Alliance. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, Margot. How are you doing today?
I am excited to have you on the show. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's so funny because I felt like I've known you for years because of Robert Barry and because of December People and Alliance albums and the live shows with the December People, which I have a picture of in the slideshow. For everybody that's listening, they can see that in there. And yet I haven't actually ever talked to you until today. So I'm really excited to hear a little bit about how you got inspired to start in music and how you're living your music. So, yay, I'm really glad to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks. I can go way back and start in my childhood, if that's appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of the show is to inspire people and encourage people to live the music they hear calling them, whether it's music or writing books or doing art or whatever they feel inspired to do. So, yeah, tell us how you got inspired in the beginning. Who inspired you and what inspired you?
Well, I came from a fairly musical family, actually. Both my parents would sing a bit around the house, not professionally at all, but, you know, like on Sunday morning, my dad would sing things like, I'm getting married in the morning, you know, get me to the church on time. And my mother has continued on. She's, of course, retired now, but she's been in, like, you know, elder citizen musical groups where she lives. And sometimes if I'm not on tour that year, and she's done a few of these little shows they put on, I'll say, gee, Mom, you've got more gigs this year than I do.
Oh.
So my grandmother played organ, I thought, very well. One of my cousins was a dancer who went on to study at Juilliard and then joined the Alvin Ailey dance group. So, and then other cousins, you know, played in the high school band or this or that or the other thing. So, yeah, it just seemed natural that music would be a part of my life, at least to some degree. Again, not all of them were professional, but certainly enjoyed it. And so I just had an interest, and particularly for electric guitar when I was a kid. I loved the sound of the electric guitar. And so my heroes way back then were like Duane Eddy and The Ventures, you know, surf music. And then, of course, the Beatles came along, and that changed the landscape for all of us teenagers. Like, yeah, I want to be in a band like that. When I was in eighth grade, I was, you know, we had a little band and we played at the seventh grade dance. And so people asked me, yeah, when was the point where you really saw that, you know, you wanted to make music a career? So I point to that day, my first paying gig. You know, I think we made $15 for the, you know, the three of us. And after the show, after we played, there were seventh grade girls asking us for our autograph. And I thought, okay, this is it. This is what I want to do.
I can just picture it, Gary. I can just totally picture that.
Yeah. Oh. you know, I was like a lot of guys as a teenager in bands in high school. And when this was out in California. I went to high school there in San Mateo. And in the Bay Area, for people that don't know too much about the geography of, you know, central middle California there. So one of the other guitar player in the band was saying, gee, there's this guitar player in the next town over giving lessons, and he's really good, and we should all take lessons from him. And I said, okay. And we went to see his band. They were called the Warlocks at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a great band. And we said, wow, that guy is really good. Yeah, so we started taking lessons from him. But a few months later, he stopped giving lessons because they changed their name of the band to the Grateful Dead. And that was Jerry Garcia giving us lessons.
Oh, my gosh. So Jerry Garcia was one of your first guitar teachers.
Right. And, of course, you know, we thought they were awesome. And so, I just stuck with it, where a lot of my friends, you know, quit music and went on to get a real job, but I kept plugging away at it. And after high school, my dad had said, what school do you want to go to? Sort of, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, well, Dad, I just want to be a rock musician, and they really don't teach that in college. And he said, no, but they teach music, so if you like music, you know, you should go to school to learn how. He said, you know, be whatever you want to be, but go to school to learn how. And I said, okay. So he took me up to the Santa Rosa Junior College up there, because that's where I was living at the time, and made me enroll. But I loved it, and it wasn't because the teachers were so hip, but because they were so enthusiastic about the music, and it was just infectious, you know, their enthusiasm. And one of the kids sitting next to me at my age was Johnny Cola, who went on to be the sax player in Huey Lewis and the News. So you never know who you're going to sit next to in school. So I give that advice to young musicians that are starting off as what my dad told me, you know, do whatever you want to do, go to school to learn how to do it, and be the best you can at it. I was in club bands, played all around the San Francisco Bay Area there and up and down the coast. And we were looking for a singer, and we had heard that Sammy Hagar had just left Montrose. And so somehow we got his phone number and called him up. And he said, well, I'm really not looking for a band. I got some guys that I'm trying to work up, but maybe I could do a couple shows with you. So he actually opened for us at a couple of club dates that we had. And so we got to talk to him a little bit. And actually our manager said, gee, why don't you just join Sammy's band? You know, he's looking for a guitar player. I said, well, he's been through about a half a dozen guitar players. You know, why should I join his band? He'll kick me out in a couple of weeks. You know, what's the point?
Right.
And he said, well, why don't you talk to him? And so I was, you know, talking to him on the phone. And he said, hey, Peel, are you into drugs? I said, well, no, why? Why would you ask? He said, well, the last guitar player I had OD'd on cocaine in the bathroom of a gas station. I said, oh, man, that's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Said, so why don't you come down and jam with us? And so I go down to jam with the guys / audition, and while I'm there, Sammy's manager calls and said, hey, there was a gig with Queen and Thin Lizzy out at the Sacramento Memorial Auditorium. Queen canceled. Thin Lizzy's going to headline. You guys could be the opening act if you have a guitar player. So, of course, Sammy turns to me and said, hey, can you do the gig? It's in 2 days. I said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll be ready. So, you know, I went home and practiced as hard as I could, learned the songs, and did the show. And we actually got a nice review for the show. But at the end of the night, I was saying goodbye to the guys. I just figured, you know, that was it. They just hired me to fill in for this gig. And the bass player, Bill Church, said, no, you're in the band. That's it. So, oh, okay, nobody really told me. So I had 8 great years in Sammy's band, and he was not very well known when I joined. You know, we'd go down south, and people would say, oh, Sammy Hagar, he's one of the Hagar twins from that TV show Hee-Haw, right?
Oh, no.
Say, no, he's not country. He used to be in the rock band Montrose. Oh, Montrose. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Anyway, so, again, 8 great years with Sammy, and he was our cheerleader. You know, he was always in a good mood. I mean, what you see is what you get with Sammy, you know. Always in a good mood, ready to rock, you know, great musician. And he said, you know, next year is going to be even better. And it was, you know, every year got better. We sold more records and played bigger places. And then in 85, you know, he got the call from Van Halen and said, oh, and he came to us and said, guys, I hate to say it, you know, it's an offer I can't refuse, but you guys are such a good band, you should just get some other singer and plug him in and keep going. And to that end, Geffen Records introduced us to Robert Berry, who had been with Carl Palmer, Keith Emerson. And so that's when we first met him. But in the meantime, way back, one of our first gigs actually with Sammy was to open up for Boston for the end of their first tour, and then they liked us, we liked them, and they said, hey, you guys should open the entire second tour for us. So that's what we did all around the country, opening for Boston. And so I got to know the guys, of course. And so Tom Scholz, in 85, when he heard that Sammy was breaking up the band, Tom Scholz from Boston called me and said, "Hey, I heard your band is breaking up. Would you come back here and help me finish the third Boston album, Third Stage? There's one more song that needs to be recorded. Would you come back and play on it?" Of course, I said, "Absolutely. You know, you guys are one of my favorite bands ever, and I'm out of work." So, yeah. So I left from Farm Aid One, our last gig with Sammy, out in Champaign, Illinois, and flew directly from there to Boston to start working with Tom and Brad. And after a few weeks working on that song, Tom said, "Gee, I think we work well together. Why don't you move back here? We'll finish this album. We'll do a tour, and who knows what? We'll see what happens." So, of course, I've been in the band ever since, 30-something years. But I wasn't out of work for a day. You know, left from Sammy's gig to Boston the next day. So how lucky could a guy get, you know?
Wow.
So after the Third Stage album and tour, Tom came to us and said, "Now, the next Boston album is going to take a few years to make. So if anybody has any other projects they want to do, solo things or whatever, now's the time to do it." So I called up a couple of my old Sammy Hagar bandmates, David Lauser on drums and Alan Fitzgerald on keys. And, of course, Fitz had been with Night Ranger, but he was in between albums with them. And we said, "Hey, let's put a band together on the side for fun." And Dave reminded me, he said, "Hey, remember Robert Berry? The folks from Geffen told us about him, and let's call him up." And so we did. We met actually in Sammy's recording studio and threw out, you know, a bunch of song ideas back and forth. And we said, "Yeah, this is going to work." You know, Robert fit in with the rest of us just great. And that's how Alliance was formed. And here we are now, just released our sixth album, Fire and Grace.
Wow. I am so glad I asked.
So that's the whirlwind tour of my life up to that point.
It's a absolutely awesome one, too, and it's so full of inspiration. I mean, the whole thing, I can hear your inspiration, and it's a reminder for the listeners out there to do what they feel inspired to do and to just keep doing it. And I love the thing that you said, too, about go to school, you know, about your dad saying go to school. And that's one of the things Robert's always said when he's on my show and he talks about living your music, if it is music, to make sure to go to school, too, and to have a backup plan. He said that he had originally studied music in college and figured he could always teach if he needed to, you know. And
when I was in college, they just assumed that all the music students would go on to be teachers because being, you know, a classical performer is so tough, you know. And, of course, they really didn't know anything about being a rock performer. Like, how do you make it in that business? You know, that's a crazy business. So, yeah, they just assumed you were going to be a music teacher when you got out of college. But, you know, really, that wasn't what I was hoping for. And I just, again, just enjoyed taking the classes.
Yeah, yeah. But I just love that. I love hearing about this. And okay, so Alliance, the new album is just incredible. I really love it. In fact, you know, the more I hear it, the more I love it. And you had mentioned some fan favorites that are on the album that we might play during the show: "The Wheel," "Good Life," "Uncertain," "Raise Your Glass," which I already played "Raise Your Glass" when Robert was on my show last. Robert Berry was on May 1st. So, and then I had realized from talking with Robert, the song "Time" also, I realized that song a little bit about what he was thinking when he wrote that. But I was also realizing that "Time" and "Uncertain," those two titles, are things that I really thought would be awesome not only to hear, but to talk about, because time is so important and it goes by so quickly. And as you know, I mean, like you were saying, I mean, 1985 when you started, was that when you were with Boston at first, right?
Right.
I mean, the time goes by, yeah, it goes so fast. And I moved to Marin in 1978, and I'm going, oh, my God, I've been here for over 40 years. It's a long time. So I think that let's talk about the song Time just briefly, if you would, and then I'll play that, and then we can talk about that a little bit more and talk about time in general, okay?
Yes. Well, as you say, that was a song Robert had written, and I got to say, I think all the songs on this album have a positive message, and especially in these days where there's so much negativity, that it's nice to have songs with a positive message.
I totally agree. I totally agree. So the song Time is just, it's about 4.5 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and play that, and then we can talk some more about it, okay?
It sounds good.
Okay.
Well, I've been looking back through some old memories that I saved here in this drawer with all my dreams. Out of newspapers, stacks of interviews, words of wisdom that I learned when life was war. And time ain't changed a thing. Time can't change my mind. I've been heading for that dream all of my life. And I lifetime searching for truth, looking past disappointment that got in my way. Yeah, at times I felt bitter, at times I felt like a heavy hitter, but no matter. I'm not giving up.
Well, I love that song.
Oh, thanks. I'm really proud of that and really all the songs on the record. And I might say, of course, it makes me think of time. And here we've been together as a band for 30-something years. And the time has, what can I say, it's passed quickly for us. And that's been our, the reason why we haven't made more records is because we don't have enough time together. We've all got other projects. Again, I'm in the band Boston and Dave Lauser with Sammy all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still doing gigs with Sammy. He's got some coming up. And Robert, of course, is with Greg Kinn and been in other bands along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you're fighting time to get together with the people you want to work with or your loved ones. You want to spend more time with them, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, the recording process is that we want to work on the songs when we are all together. You know, these days
mm-hmm.
you could email song ideas and tracks back and forth, and you can record an album, on your laptop computer if you want these days, and you could, be in different parts of the world. But we like to do it the old school way, where we're all together, usually at Robert's recording studio, where
mm-hmm.
we'll bring in an idea, and we usually have some words, at least, if not all the lyrics to them. So not only musically we understand where the guy is coming from, but also lyrically, like, what are you trying to say with this song? And that's process is the fun part for us, of trying to work up the song. Somebody brings in an idea, and you all just throw in your ideas for your own parts. But, for instance, I'll be playing the guitar on some song or something, and Dave, the drummer, will say, this one section, maybe strum the guitar like this. And I'm thinking, so here's the drummer telling me how to play guitar, right? But I trust him. That's the main thing. It's like, if he's got some idea in his head, it's going to be good. I'm going to try it. It doesn't matter that he's the drummer telling me how to play guitar. But that's what it's like being with guys that you've known a long time. And, again, trust. Like, we're all just trying to make the song better, not trying to show off, my virtuosity of how fast I can play or something like that. No, it's all about the song. And again, it's great to have the lyrics to start with. So for you budding songwriters out there,
mm-hmm.
it's great to have the words along with the chords and melody that you can show to other people so they understand where you're coming from with the song. And, again, if you're hiring or working with other musicians or something, that's always a good place to start.
Yeah, it seems to me that that the lyrics are so important to the song, unless it's going to be just a song that's all music, obviously. But
sure,
they definitely have to work together. And I know what you mean about being in Robert's studio, because my husband and son and have recorded songs with him, and actually I have too with them.
Oh.
And I've been to every one of the recording sessions, and they've done over 30 songs with him. And it's just so much fun, bringing down the lyrics and the basic ideas for the guitar parts, and then Robert filling in the bass and the drums and the keyboards and helping it come to life. It's just an incredible creative process. So I can firsthand really picture what it would be like for you guys being down there with Robert and working on the songs together. So, just
sure.
Fun.
For instance, the title track, Fire and Grace, here from this album,
uh-huh.
was a guitar riff that I had,
mm-hmm.
and Dave had a great drum groove, and Robert said, hey, I think I got some lyrics that'll work with that. So, again, we were in his studio, and he hit the
mm-hmm.
record button, and we started playing, and we wrote that 4-minute song in 4 minutes. We
Amazing.
Just played it through. Yeah.
Wow.
And again, that's what it's like, knowing guys and trying to throw in your best ideas just on the spot. And I wish our fans could see that process, of 4 minutes ago, that song didn't exist, and now here it is, So it's an amazing thing.
It really is. That's one of the things. I don't know if you're familiar with Tempest and Leif Sorby, but Robert
Many, many Tempest albums on Robert's wall there, yes.
Exactly. Well, Leif's been on my show a couple times, and he's really fun to talk to. Very positive guy too, and he has so much fun when he's down there recording with Robert also. And the point I'm getting at though is, what Leif does is he has, when they're recording, he has somebody do some videos of the recording session.
Ah.
Not straight through, but you know, clips of it, and then he posts
right.
that on Facebook. And that would be so much fun. Maybe next time you guys get together and do that, you can have at least some of it be videotaped so that we can see the process and see how much fun it is.
That would be great. Yeah, again, I'd love to share that with our fans.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, we've got 18 minutes left, and like I said, the Uncertain song is 6.5 minutes, and I usually only play songs that are 5 minutes at the most, but this one, I felt it had some really awesome guitar parts by you in there, some great keyboards by Robert also. The drums were really good. And then the topic of uncertainty. Oh, my gosh, there's so much uncertainty in the world, and this one gives a positive feeling to it and helps it turn it around, I think. Is that what you would say about it, or what do you have to say about the song?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there, yes, absolutely.
Well, cool. But yeah, let's listen to that, and then we'll talk some more about Uncertain, the song, and uncertainty and how to get past that.
Good.
Because I know love can live, and that I must believe. The journey's scarred by the stories of the past, by every question I can ask along the way. From every second of every day, I tell all the place and get like a picture from the past, it fades away. And I see a future where we finally found love all around and uncertainty nowhere. That the soul.
Gary, I love that song. And
yes.
Oh my God, the way your guitar playing in that song, and just, you know, what I've seen and heard in the other songs that on the Alliance albums, and with Boston and with December People, which is when I've gotten to see you live, by the way, is with December People. But you are just, it's you, when you're playing the guitar on stage, it's like you're totally connected with source energy and inspiration. You just are in glee, and I love watching the smile on your face. And it the guitar is just such a part of you. It just is.
Well, thank you for saying that. And again, I've been very fortunate over my lifetime to be able to make a living at it. And, you know, when I have traveled around the country, of course, and I'll run into other musicians and said, you know, I don't care about being rich and famous. I just want to do this for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is always, oh, it's really hard to do that. And so you have to have a bigger view of it. In other words, yeah, you may not make as much as, you know, your dentist or something, but, you know, if you love music, then do it. You know, because as you say, that's, if that gives you joy, then that's what you should be doing. And again, thinking about Robert, for instance,
mm-hmm.
he's such a terrific musician. He plays every instrument and, of course, a fantastic singer. And
mm-hmm.
he has his own solo albums. But he seems to enjoy having us around as well, because there's something about, again, working with other people that changes things that you had no idea was going to go that direction. You know, we certainly do that. Like on this album, you know, I brought in a couple songs, Dave brought in a couple. As I say, the three of us wrote Fire and Grace together, and the rest were Robert's. But as we bring them in and show them the other guys, things change. And again, that's what we're hoping for, is that synergy of everybody trying to put in good ideas to something to make your idea even better. And so as I, you know, am encouraging people to, yeah, play the music that you hear in your head, but don't be afraid to ask some other people to listen to it to help you achieve that, whether it's just to make a recording, as I say, you can do on your laptop computer,
mm-hmm.
or to perform in front of your friends or family or whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't be afraid to listen to the other ideas that musicians have. And again, I've been very fortunate to be, again, in Sammy Hagar's band and then in Boston. And the leaders of both those bands, Sammy and Tom Scholz, were always interested in what the other musicians had to say. Even if they wrote the song, they want the other guys there, or in the case of Boston, women. We've had a few women in the band over the years.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear what everybody has to bring to it, to, you know, how to make that song better. So that was a great thing, great experience for me to, again, be part of that process of just trying to make the song better. And again, as I say, with Alliance, it's really a labor of love for us.
Well, you know, and that really comes through, too. And what you're saying is it's about collaboration. And it's funny, Robert always talks about what he calls the four P's, which are purpose, persistence, patience, and personality. And those are really important in what you're doing. And just before I had him on my show the last time, I heard, I don't mean literally just before, but, you know, when I was meditating and writing my morning pages, I heard about the five C's, and the five C's being connection, communication, creation, collaboration, and celebration. And the thing is when you're collaborating with others, it turns into something so much bigger and more amazing than it would if it was just you on your own. And I think part of that is because of the fact that it's not just one somebody's ego doing it. It's Wayne Dyer always said, inspiration is inspire is in spirit. It's being in spirit. And I don't know. What do you have to say about that?
I completely agree. Yes, and being open to the idea. You know, I've certainly been in bands where not everybody is ready for that that input from other people. You know, they think,
mm-hmm.
no, this is the way I hear it. It's got to be like this. And
mm-hmm.
like, okay, we can do it like this, but let's try this as well. And so
mm-hmm.
As collaborators, either if you have the idea or you're trying to improve the idea, be aware of that too. Don't be dogmatic about it. Be more open. Say, okay, let's try this and let's try that too. Just to hear them both. And we certainly do that in Alliance. You know, again, somebody will have an idea. Okay, let's try it out, you know. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work, you know. So now that sucks, you know. Move on, you know, what's next, you know. So, but that's, and again, that's part of that, again, the collaboration, but also being open to that, that creativity from the other person. Like, gee, maybe they have something good to offer in this as well. So, again, it's, you know, like any relationship with people or groups of people,
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to do that, to be open to other people's suggestions.
You know, being open, that is so important, and you're so right. I remember I had a boss that back during the 80s when I was working in San Francisco, and he talked about that too a lot, about how you could learn from everyone. You could learn from the newest people that were working there. You could learn from the people that had been the longest. You could learn from the clients, and always be open to learning from everyone. And
yes, that reminds me of the guitarist Randy Rhoads, you know, of course, who played with Ozzy. And Randy was a fantastic player, but I had heard that when they were on tour and had some time off, he would go to the local guitar teacher in whatever town they were in, you know, find one to take lessons from them, you know, even though they were just a local guy, you know, working in a music store or whatever. But, yeah, he felt that everybody had something unique and wanted to find out more about how to play guitar better.
I love that. I wish now that I had scheduled this for an hour, because we've only got 4 minutes left. And one of the questions that my husband wanted me to ask you, and in a way you've answered it, but is, let's see, his question was, what guitarists have influenced you? So who have been some of your greatest influences as guitarists?
Well, certainly, all the English rock gods, you know, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, and then, of course, Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the musicians since then, when I'm driving in the car, I'm a button pusher. I'll turn, change the channel all the time. And I listen to everything from country to jazz to classic rock to whatever, hip-hop, because there's so much good music going on. And I don't know the names of them. Sometimes people say, oh, what are you listening to these days? And I say, whatever's on the radio, you know. And I can't even tell you who it is, you know. Sometimes I have to ask my kids, like, who is that? And they go, oh, Dad, that's such and such, you know. So I don't even know the names of some of the players. But, yeah, there's so much good stuff going on that I enjoy hearing everything.
You know, we have one child, a son, and he's 29, and he loves music, and he took the guitar like a duck takes to water, I think partly because his dad was playing it. But you're right. I mean, he's the one that tells us about a lot of the different music that's coming out, but he also loves a lot of the music from our time, and he really wishes that were more kids that played guitar right now,
yeah.
You know. And well, he's not exactly a kid anymore, but I mean, you know, in his generation, he says that
sure.
There's not enough
yeah.
of them that do. We've only got 2.5 minutes left. What's something you'd like to leave our audience with about living your music?
That idea that if it's inside you, if you have something to say, say it, if it's musical. And again, it's nice to be able to collaborate with other people to help that, because unless you just want to play guitar or piano or something and sing, or maybe you're just an instrumentalist and you just have musical ideas that you just want to play, that's fine too. But if you're like most people that like, you know, what we call popular music, you know, the stuff that's on
mm-hmm.
the radio, which usually means that there's a band and other musicians and vocals and things like that, then, yeah, you do need some other people. But, again, it doesn't matter that you're not playing, you know, a big stadium or something. If you just play for your friends and try to share that joy of music with other people. And as you know, music is the universal language. And so it doesn't matter what language you're singing in or whatever, that you can really affect other people and help them to understand their lives as well, either through your lyrics, what you're going through. And just to say it out loud, to sing it out loud and put it to music and be joyful about it is such a gift that we can all share with everybody on whatever level.
Oh, I totally agree. That is just so beautiful. I'm going to listen to that over and over again, and I'm going to listen to the show over and over again. Everyone, please share this show with your friends and your family. And get the Alliance CD, Fire and Grace, oh my gosh, and listen to all the songs. I love your songs on it too, Gary. I just wish we had more time to play all of them.
Well,
so,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on my show. I really appreciate it. And wow, I feel really inspired too. I hope everybody listening feels as inspired as I do right now to go out and live some music that's in their hearts.
Yeah, great. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, and yes, I hope to see you here in the future.
I'd love to have you back on. Bye for now, everyone. Remember, get out there and live your music. Bye, Gary.
See ya. Bye.